in the last 7 years or 8 years that 13% of churches, you know, 8 years ago said, we're doing a good job of reaching our communities. And then in the last year, it's down to 1%. And so fewer and fewer churches are effectively, and I would say marketing to their communities as a front door into their churches. Brad, is that what you're seeing, and what do you think maybe is even the reason for that? Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, joined by Brad Hill, a returning guest to this podcast. Brad is the Chief Solutions Officer at Glue. Glue is a platform that many people in the church world have heard about, and a lot of people aren't sure what exactly Glue does. And so, Brad, I want to just maybe start this conversation of how do you describe Glue to somebody who's just hearing about Glue for the first time?
Yeah, well, good to be back, Nils, and I appreciate the opportunity to chat more. Yeah. You know, Glue is, it is a set of technology tools. But we also describe Glue as a place, the church's place. And what's happening as we're watching it, there's about 72,000 churches now that have Glue accounts, and they come in for different reasons. Sometimes it's to discover content and resources. Sometimes it's the communication tools. They want access to the free texting that's available on Glue. Other times it's to better know their people with our assessments library, or to get funding. We actually have some newer, really exciting parts of Glue that are designed around animating more kingdom capital flow. So Glue is a place. There's a lot of things converging together, and we do serve the church, which I think is going to be most germane to your audience. But we all, it's good to know that we also have a really explicit motion to serve networks of churches like denominations, city movements, other organizations that serve the church. We serve publishers, technology companies as well, and we serve donors. So we're really looking pretty expansively at the whole Big C church and figuring out how can we better connect it all together. So that's in a nutshell our mission.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And one of the things that I have experienced in my seat for many years is that the church has lagged behind when it comes to technology, innovation, marketing. And a lot of that has to do with even the tools that they have access to in order to be more effective in what God's called us to in the Great Commission and reaching people with the gospel, engaging them and then discipling them through our churches. And one of the stats that I recently heard, and Brad, I know you're aware of this stat from Barna, is Barna put out a recent poll on Instagram, is where I saw it, that basically in the last 7 years or 8 years that 13% of churches, you know, 8 years ago said, we're doing a good job of reaching our communities. And then in the last year, it's down to 1%. And so fewer and fewer churches are effectively, and I would say marketing to their communities as a front door into their churches. Brad, is that what you're seeing, and what do you think maybe is even the reason for that?
Yeah, when I saw this stat, Nils, I had to like do a double take. I was like, surely this is a typo, right? Yeah,
It's huge change.
Yeah, it's, and you know, we're so fond in church marketing, especially, of talking about going after the one, you know, using Jesus analogy there. This is one case where I feel like we need to go after the 99. Like the 1% is who feels confident in outreach. That means 99% feel mildly confident or not at all confident, which should sound alarm bells for us. I think it's borne out too, to your question, by other stats we see. For example, the rate of practicing Christians in America now dropping below 50%, according to Gallup and Pew. Also, and my data is a little rusty here. It's I think the last year I found was 2022 or 2021 rather. But as much as 80% of church growth, in quotes, meaning like people that came to my church for the first time this year, 80% of that is actually transfer growth from other churches. So we're sheep swapping, as a pastor friend of mine says. And I think you combine all this together, and what we find is that hey, in the church, we rightly have a desire to hold firm and fast to this message that never changes. And we're doing that in a culture that changes rapidly before our eyes. And we've got a dissonance now where something we're doing or not doing is not necessarily resonating in the ways that we hope with, you know, kind of folks outside the four walls, as it were. And also a lot of us in various types of leadership were probably trained on models whenever we came through seminary or ministry school a decade or two ago. And I think we'd all agree the world has completely shifted since then. So we're using, you know, some old models. Some of that's what we measure and what we consider winning. But regardless, yeah, I think the numbers should wake us up a lot and maybe crack through a little bit of hard exterior to say, hey, I'm not normally a guy that's excited to try new things. But in light of what I know as a leader and what I see in these stats, it would be foolish for us to expect that we do the same old things and get different results. We need to think about how to innovate within the place of, yes, holding firm to the gospel, but putting new lines in the water, because what we're doing is largely not working according to all the numbers we see.
Yeah, I think that's, I think we can see that tangibly, probably in at least in a lot of the conversations that I'm having regularly, that what used to work and kind of what got us here isn't going to get us there, or what got us there 10 years ago or even 20 years ago isn't getting us there today. And that data, you know, speaks to exactly that. I think about, I remember, you know, I've been in ministry for now over 20 years. And I remember the marketing conversation, I say marketing very loosely here, conversations that I had early days in, my Baptist church. We would talk about how big of a Yellow Page ad would we buy and what did our sign look like in front of our church. And that was our holistic marketing efforts. And that's all we really needed to do. At least that's all we perceived we needed to do. And in some ways, that's all we could do. You know, maybe, you know, bigger churches could do TV ads or radio spots, or maybe they bought a billboard. But marketing, there just weren't many feasible marketing outlets to let people know about our church. Well, now, in some ways, pastors get overwhelmed because there's so many opportunities when you think about Google Ads and social media and all of these different things. And pastors didn't go into seminary to learn marketing. They went into seminary and called a pastor church to shepherd their flocks and congregations. But in many ways, marketing is essential for our churches. Now, it doesn't, though, mean you have to be a marketing expert. I think this is where I think Glue, and then one of the things I love about Glue is you're solving problems for churches so that they could do what they're called to do in ministry. So, Brad, can you talk about how, as you hear that gap, how Glue is responding in supporting churches?
Yeah, I'm just impressed, Nils, back in your Yellow Pages days that you even used the word marketing. I feel like I would have had my mouth washed out with soap if I had said the M word.
We wouldn't have said the M word, to be clear. I'm using that language because we would have just said, you know, how do you know what language we would have used back then? But marketing was a bad, you know, a four letter word, but it was a bad word in the church world.
Shining light on a hill or whatever we would have said. There you go. Then. Yep. Yeah, the attractional movement was alive and well. Yeah, yes. It's, you know, I mean, there's so many definitions of marketing, by the way, and I'm really fond of thinking of it as every person's on a journey. And we have the chance sometimes to interrupt them, you know, with like stop the scroll kind of marketing.
Yeah.
But I think there's also the opportunity for us to position ourselves essentially in the pathway of people who are searching for things. That's really what the Yellow Pages was. People would open that book, not for enjoyment, but they had an intent and they wanted to find a certain category. We don't have Yellow Pages today, but we do have Google. We do have other forms of social media. And we obviously have really moved in our ways we trust. I think we're more likely to trust anonymous strangers who 5-star rated a thing than we would trust the marketing claims of the person who made that thing. That's often the case. But the other thing is, and I've just been recently dwelling on this, that we have developed such a, in a sense, individualistic culture that we trust ourselves. We trust our ability to get information to make a decision, as opposed to maybe seeking out help from others. And yet, what do we know as believers? God's wired us to be in community, to be together. So, you know, we may get in here to talk about our Explorer program a little bit, but one of the things we've seen so plainly is folks go every day to Google, as an example, searching for info or help. Something's going on in their life. They're looking for, you know, kind of a next step. They're looking for help, looking for information. And as one person recently put it, they're searching for 411 when maybe they should be looking for 911, like someone to help. But our kind of reliance on getting information maybe trumps our understanding of our need for connection. And so what we're doing at Glue right now in many cases is we're trying to position the church in the pathway of that person who's looking for information and maybe needs to realize that what they really could use is connection. And we feel like if we can bridge that gap and we see evidence that we are, it opens up a massive new mission field for us that is great news in the face of all the stats we just talked about. I think there's a plentiful harvest available if we as a church really think about our outreach differently.
Mm. Well, one of the things that's been interesting, Brad, about social media and a stat, I want to say a stat, but a conversation that I recently heard was an interview with the CEO of Instagram. And one of the things that he identified, or the Instagram team identified, is that the number one feature that people are using in Instagram are the DMs, and that what people aren't just doing, and we focus a lot of time about content creation, content distribution, and we see that, and in many ways that is the first touch, but what happens after people consume our content is they often message us. And one of the things that has shocked me with churches is how many churches I talk to that aren't paying attention to their DMs, that aren't even reading those DMs, much less responding to those DMs. And what happens in a lot of cases is that people are interested in our churches, but we're not even making ourselves available to have conversations with them and engaging with them. And I think what we, I think, need to be intentional about is that the church is about relationship and making connections. And that's been one of the reasons I've been so intrigued by the Explorers program that Glue has put together, is helping churches kind of begin a conversation with people in your local community that can more naturally integrate them into their churches in a very relational way. Brad, can you share a little bit more about what the Explorers program is that Glue is putting together?
Yeah, no, well said, Nils. I think, you know, the DMs thing is so real, and I think it's an opportunity for especially a lot of your audience I know is in kind of comms marketing space for the church. And I know most of them are going to agree that they're really a ministry, right? It's they're not just information or megaphone, but they're putting, you know, content out that, yeah, it might be involved in inviting people to church or giving someone an encouragement or a little snippet of a sermon. But you're right. I mean, people are so hungry right now to connect and explore. Oftentimes, by the way, they're not looking for church, but they're looking for God. And getting on social media and in some of these platforms is a great little bit of a safe third space, if you will, online. But we need to be prepared for that. We need to be prepared that it's going to be two-way, not one-way.
Yes.
And I think that's true. By the way, at Glue, we could not more heartily encourage every church to take full advantage of all these channels. But then also what we found in this Explore Connections program kind of adds a layer on top of that. A lot of us are familiar with cooperative advertising. Like the example we're probably most familiar is Got Milk. And literally, if anybody knows the story, this was a bunch of dairy farmers originally in California, none of whom had the budget to do a broad scale statewide or national ad campaign. But together they could. And so that's how it formed. And as a result, you had a large scaled message going out saying, hey, milk's good for you. We've never really had in the church in America a cooperative ad campaign that was, you know, ecumenical, transcendent of denomination, still Jesus focused or whatever. We have had in the last few years some big Jesus campaigns and other things, but to actually talk about connecting to church, we saw an opportunity, and a bunch of donors did as well. So you know, we began building a system with campaigns, but also effectively like a switchboard. So if someone connects through an ad that says churches care about loneliness or churches care about grief, we want to find out where is that individual that clicked and how can we get them connected to a Bible believing community that's well suited to, you know, journey with them. As we built that, this is going back about back to 2021. We saw some really good traction. Like there was clearly something here that wanted to happen. And a number of other ministries and influencers and concerts and events all had the same problem. Like you mentioned DMs. So I'll tell you a story. A well-known Christian band, I won't use names just to protect the innocent. They've been touring a long time. And they going back, like they share the gospel every concert. And years ago, a response mechanism for them would be index cards to fill in. And then it turned into like QR codes or text. But the problem remained that the band had no people or time to really respond appropriately. So what they told us was the drummer would be on the bus headed to the next stop trying to answer the DMs or the texts. And we've heard similar problems from larger Christian influencers who get asked in their DMs all the time, like deep personal questions. And they're like, I can't keep up with this. They all need like a follow-up system. Meanwhile, we have 300,000 churches in the United States. I mean, we have a giant army of follow-up available. We just need to connect it. So that's what we're doing. And as a result, any church that wants can kind of create an account, join as what we call the responder on Glue. And what that does is it basically puts your catcher's mitt out and you're now on the receiving end of connections from at this point about 40 to 45 different national and local ministries that are doing the work to find the people. They just have nowhere to send them. And so this could be K-Love Radio. It could be the Church's Care brand, touring concerts, festivals, and the like. It's just extraordinary what we're seeing happen. And, you know, the average church that's participating is seeing 2 to 5 new connections a week. And these are not always people who are going to just automatically show up on Sunday morning to your church. Some will, but more than show up on Sunday, these are people that want to connect, right? So they may want to text for a little while. They may want to go to coffee. And so we're finding, too, that there's a new type of engagement and posture toward people that we can learn, we can train in our churches. And if we do, I think, like I said earlier, there's a giant harvest out there that's waiting. We just need more active responders to respond to the need.
Say goodbye to clunky tools. With DonorBox Ministry Matters, raising funds becomes seamless and efficient. Picture this. Easy-to-use donation forms integrated seamlessly with your website and powerful analytics to track your progress. It's more than just fundraising. DonorBox Ministry Matters fosters connections and community, inspiring lifelong support for your cause. Ready to grow your church giving? Visit DonorBox.org to discover how DonorBox Ministry Matters can elevate your ministry's impact today.
I love that. I, you know, it reminds me of something that we did. We experimented with probably about 10 years ago at Community Bible Church when I was in San Antonio. And one of the things we did is we added, this is kind of early days of when you could have a, you know, say a chat bot, but it was just a live chat, you know, portal on the homepage of the website. And we hired what we called a digital receptionist. And she would just be in that live chat, you know, typically Monday through Friday, but then the prime time, what we found from a website traffic standpoint is most people are coming Saturday evening to Sunday morning before they were going to come to service. But what happened is that as this would pop up of, can we help you now? You know, is there anything we can help you with on the website? And people would start chatting that about 10% of the people coming to the website, we were able to minister to in a very tangible way before they even showed up. So a lot of people were there to get questions answered, you know, of like what service times were, what do they do with kids? But a lot of people too were just like, they were hurting and they couldn't wait for Sunday. They, you know, felt like they probably had to wait to Sunday, but we were able to minister to them because we were available and we had someone that was available. And I think an opportunity like this, I think maybe the initial quick response is, okay, you know, I'll get the lead and lead is kind of a marketing term here, yep. But I'll get the explorer, you know, in Glue's term here, and that person that has expressed a level of interest in their faith in my local community, and I'm going to minister to them where they are, that naturally is going to lead to hopefully some connection with your local church. But I think at the end of the day, even if it doesn't, it's ministry directly into your community. And I think it's, you know, I saw it 10 years ago in such an incredible, tangible way. And what it also gave us was that just blew us away are just stories of people that in the ministry, and we're able to feed that to our pastors. This is what we're experiencing and hearing from people as we were just being responsive and not just, I think, I love the language you use of this is two-way communication that we need to have. And so I think it's such a unique opportunity. I've you know, not heard that term of collaborative marketing, but I see it. My brother-in-law owns a Chick-fil-A, and every Chick-fil-A in his region pools their marketing funds to buy billboards or to promote Chick-fil-A in San Antonio, and they're able to have greater impact through that collective support rather than each one doing their own individual marketing. Let's work together. And Glue is being that glue, you know, of churches to let's collaboratively, you know, market into our area. And then we will, out of that, help tee you up for real meaningful conversations. Brad, I'm curious, maybe from the churches that have leaned in to this opportunity, what are they seeing? What are some of the feedback loops that you're getting from churches that are effectively utilizing this opportunity with Explorers?
Well, Nils, I mean, first of all, what you just described is such the heart that, you know, marks the churches that are doing well with this. They're in this not necessarily to grow their church, but to serve and minister to people. And the crazy thing in God's upside down economy is when you love and serve people, they tend to come. And so it's a kind of a backwards type of approach. But, you know, we're always careful to say, not every explorer that gets connected to you will show up at your church, visit your church, attend, join, give, serve, lead. You can't bank on that, right? Although there are, by the way, many who will. And there are many who are legitimately looking for a church and they choose to go on TikTok to do that. We want to catch those people. But more so, they begin with kind of a, you know, a personal connection. And so what we're hearing from churches, I mean, I hear quotes routinely from pastors saying things like, this is some of the most personal ministry I've ever gotten to do. It's rewarding. And let me also point out and make a fine point on, this is not just for pastors or paid staff. In fact, The churches that do this and they just have the lead pastor doing it will almost certainly burn out because these are people that need and deserve time and there's a journeying aspect to it. What we find working best is could be some paid staff, but it's a fantastic way to invite in more lay people. You could have an outreach team. You could have digital missionaries, digital front desk. I love your term. You could also, we need several small groups to sign up to take a day a week or whatever. And you're exactly right, by the way, most of the activity comes kind of evenings, you know, a little bit weekends, oftentimes when people are not at work, and you can do this on your phone. So it's pretty accessible to do, and sharing the load is a smart idea. There's also, Nils, like a couple quick principles, and we've got a lot more training, and even for a church that maybe doesn't feel ready to do Explorers yet, we've got tremendous free materials on Glue just to kind of teach some of these principles. One of those is digital before analog. And I know we're in a season where we're far enough past COVID, and a lot of us kind of begrudgingly kept the live stream turned on and still do. But, you know, we really, if we're honest, we have this idea of like real ministry happens in the building, or, you know, real ministry only happens face to face. I would just sit here and tell you that real ministry can happen through screens. And it can then lead to in-person face-to-face, handshake, hugs. It should, hopefully. But don't discount the fact that screens can't be tools of discipleship, right? And if you approach, I would say further, if you approach digital as more of a place than a tool, you'll be in a closer mindset. If you think of it as just a tool or a necessary evil, you are missing out on a giant ministry opportunity. Another principle is prayer. We've just seen over and over that prayer is one of the most effective ways to start with someone, even a person who's far from God or unchurched, dechurched, doesn't want anything to do with church. If you say, "Can I pray for you?" that's a very easy yes for most people. And that can then lead to more relational connect, right? Especially speaking to all my Christian friends here, if you follow up, promise you're going to pray, but then actually follow up a day later and text them back like, "Hey, how's that thing going? I'm praying for you." They don't expect that, right? That's a pleasant surprise. And that could then lead to an opening up of the relationship. So prayer is a gateway. It's powerful on its own volition, but it's also a gateway to expanding the relationship. Transparency. This is a funny thing online. People will open up to you. They don't know you. They don't know your name. They can't see your face, but they will share the most intimate personal details of what's going on with them. And if you contrast that to like your church lobby on Sunday morning, everybody's dressed up. They don't really share a whole lot. You have no idea what's going on with those people. So digital ministry, I think, is so refreshing because you know exactly what you're walking into. And, you know, we've put tools in glue to, if you feel out of your league on something, you can reach for help from ministries that are expert in marriage, mental health, relationship, teens and youth. And there's a wealth of tools there to help you, you know, kind of be a village to serve this individual. So I think, you know, these ideas of like digital before analog, prayer, transparency before trust. And then, you know, like we said, just having a heart to serve each person. It's like, do you really love people? Is kind of the base question here, because the people are on every single person you want to reach is online. Doesn't mean that's the only way to reach them, but it's so effective. And I encourage every church to adopt Nils, the mindset you shared about positioning yourself well, because you will see fruit from it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I love even the way you verb that. Every single person you want to reach is online. And I heard a stat recently that the average American spends just on social media alone 2.5 hours a day on social media. And then that doesn't include Google searches and other, web platforms that they're on and engaging with. And I think to your point of what we found at Community Bible Church, and we had that live chat, is the most meaningful interactions that had was not the tangible invite to church that happened, but it was the prayer. And prayer isn't just something that happens verbally. It can be typed out and be extremely meaningful in a live chat setting. And so I think there's so many different avenues of what we've boxed God into and how technology is able to go further than I think we often understood. And I think that too, we're not talking about all relationships need to do everything online. This is a both and situation, and we're starting that interaction online. But what that meaningful interaction can lead to can be so extremely fruitful. Brad, I appreciate Glue leading the way and under your leadership of pioneering some of these new tools that are enabling churches to lean into the opportunities that exist on the internet. Before we wrap up this conversation, the other kind of key tool that Glue is developing is the marketplace that's allowing for just a lot more resources for church leaders. Can you maybe speak to that but before we wind down this conversation? And obviously Explorers is such an incredible immediate opportunity, in my opinion, for every church. But that's not all that Glue does. Can you maybe just speak to the marketplace?
Yeah, well, these things have a funny way of all being connected, Nils. So, you know, as we just said, like, this is really, the Explorer program is a really new mindset, new muscle to form, you know, with a lot of churches and ministry leaders, right? And over and over, we hear hey, is there a place I can go to get trained? Is there training material? Is there any content that we could look at? And I think that's true across the board. Our churches were always hungry for content, resources, the best tools, technologies, apps, even consulting services to help us kind of take a next step. And what we hear over and over from pastors is, I know that Amazon's out there. I know that there's bookstores, but why does it have to be that I have to go search like 18 different places to find things that I use in my church? And when I do, I don't actually even know if that's the right thing for my context of ministry. So what we've been working on is really a way to, number one, make it more convenient to find a large amount of resources in one place. But more importantly, I think have the right recommendations of, hey, what's true in your church may not be true in a church five states away. What worked in their women's Bible study may be different for you, or the way you approach evangelistic conversations yet again is different. So we want to, you know, basically create a place where it's easy for church leaders to discover what they need. They have an idea of, you know, recommendations that match their context, and they can put them in practice right there. For example, we work a lot with The Chosen. A lot of us are big fans of The Chosen film.
Yeah.
My family watched episodes over Easter weekend. You know, but for a church to use The Chosen, we're working to really create a library of resources for small groups, for kids in other languages that can help really expand its reach. That's good for The Chosen, but it's also really good for a church who's like, I'm not sure I'm just going to turn my church into a movie theater to show a film, but I'll absolutely use this world-class quality content to teach and convey messages visually. And you can do that, for example, right on Glue. You could download materials, but better, I think you can start a 30-day texting series around Chosen clips using the Glue texting tools that are built in. Or if you're messaging with an explorer who's, you know, questioning maybe mental health, or what, turns out there's scenes in The Chosen that deal with very artfully mental health, and you could share just a 30-second clip to that explorer. So, you know, ministries like The Chosen, American Association of Christian Counselors, the Barna Group, there's well over 150 different partners that have materials for you, for the church leader to use. And so, yeah, we've been setting this up. We're just in the front edge of that. And here in spring of 2024, we're going to be launching a paid membership program on top of that, that gets you discounts, exclusive access. And one thing, Nils, we're excited to add in the marketplace, maybe a little, sound a little crazy, but we want the marketplace to not just be resources, but also funding opportunities. Mm. Like, imagine if you could browse a marketplace of grants that are available to your church, even micro grants, right, to help you run financial education or mental health training. So that's beginning to happen as well. And so we'd love to have every church at least create an account so you can keep tabs of what's here on Glue. And we've got about 72,000 churches and growing that are part of the party. And it's cool to see what the church is building here on this platform.
Are you looking for a simple, seamless way to raise funds and support your ministry's mission? Meet DonorBox Ministry Matters, the ultimate fundraising solution tailored specifically for the needs of nonprofits like yours. DonorBox Ministry Matters has got you covered. With their intuitive online donation platform, you can easily connect with your supporters and streamline your fundraising efforts like never before. Picture this: effortless donation management, customizable donation forms to match your ministry's branding, and robust reporting tools to track your progress, all in one user-friendly interface. DonorBox Ministry Matters goes beyond just raising funds. It empowers you to cultivate stronger relationships with your donors, engage your community, and amplify your impact. Whether you're a small nonprofit or a large church, DonorBox Ministry Matters is the partner you need to take your fundraising to the next level. Visit DonorBox.org today to learn more and start making a difference with DonorBox Ministry Matters. That's DonorBox.org.
I love it. It is a party for sure. I love how Glue continues to lead the way. And so, Brad, I assume people should go to glue.us and just create that account and jump in and start poking around. Is that the best place to start?
Yeah. And in case folks don't know, we're really bad at spelling. We're good at a lot of things, but Glue is G-L-O-O. glue.us. That'll get you in. And yeah, we'd love to have everybody add their voice and their value to you know, the rest of the church. Love what you're doing here too, Nils. I think we'd love to continue platforming great content like what you're creating here. So that's a conversation you and I need to have.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it, Brad. I appreciate all that you're doing to lead the way in serving churches through great technology, great marketing efforts. I love this new term of collaborative marketing. And so I just want to encourage church leaders. This, you know, I think for full transparency, this is not a sponsorship. This is not anything. This is a platform that I'm very passionate about. I have had a front row seat for several years of watching Glue develop and bringing, you know, such a great resource to churches. And so I am engaging as much as I can with Glue, and I want to encourage other churches as well, because this is such a valuable opportunity. And it's not just one opportunity. It's there's obviously many ways for you to engage with Glue. And so we'll leave links to all of these things in the show notes under socialmedia.church. And so you can go to the website and check out all the links and the different tools there for you to engage with. And Brad, I just want to thank you again for using your gifts and strengths as a leader and building the team and building the company, building the tools that Glue is building to serve churches effectively in 2024. And I'm believing for years to come. And so I'm grateful and excited and want to encourage everyone to go and down that. So thanks so much, Brad, for joining us. And we'll talk to everyone on the next episode.
Thanks, Nils.